Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Bashful Billionaire by Elena Johnson, narrated by Anne-Marie Gideon. Chapter 1. Tyler Rigby pushed his foot against the ground, giving his hammock another gentle sway. The afternoon hours were some of the longest, and while he should have been used to them after 6 years, he still wasn't. It was moments like this that he thought maybe he should get a job. The idea only stayed for a breath, a fleeting moment, but it had been plaguing him for a few months now.
"Maybe after Christmas," he said to the golden retriever. "Yeah, lazy bones?"
He pushed the hammock again.
"Maybe after Christmas."
Which was still a couple of months away, too. Not that Tyler kept track of time anymore. He had no reason to, other than he liked eating eggs for breakfast and going somewhere for dinner. And no one had their dinner menu on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The waves of the bay lapped at the shore 100 yards away, and Tyler focused on them as his phone buzzed against his bare chest. His brother Wayne, who still lived in New York City, still ran the multi-billion-dollar online poker company they'd founded together almost a decade ago, still kept in touch on the daily. Tyler had trained his brother not to talk to him about poker, the company, or anything business-related. He had financial advisors for that, and speaking with them on a quarterly basis was horrific enough. Wayne's message was a picture of him and his two kids, and it said, "It's Darius's birthday," underneath it. Tyler snapped to attention. One thing about having a huge fortune at his disposal and countless hours on his hands was that he sometimes forgot what day it was. Darius was one of only two nephews, and the boy would only turn 6 once. So, Tyler called the toy store in New York City and got someone to deliver a set of the toy cars his nephew liked so much. That done, he decided he could head inside his modest home and get ready for dinner. After all, he hadn't showered yet, believing the best hours for showering were between 3 and 5 p.m. As he stepped out of the bathtub in his one-bedroom house on the beach, something clunked, and then a soft scrape followed. The mail. He looked forward to the mail every day, as it simply gave him something to look forward to. He thought more and more often lately that if he had a girlfriend, he'd have something else, something fun, to anticipate. He wrapped a towel around his waist and went to collect that day's excitement. He thumbed through the envelopes, finally pulling a cream-colored one out of the stack. It had elegant script on the front, reading, "Mr. Tyler Rigby," and ending with his beachside address on Getaway Bay. He opened the letter, wondering what it could be. Probably another invitation to some fundraiser. Though he wanted to maintain a low profile on the Big Island of Hawaii, everyone seemed to know he was loaded. He pulled out an equally eggshell-colored piece of paper, already dreading what it said on it. His attention perked up when he realized it was an invitation to the gala celebrating the completion of the new children's wing of the Bay Hospital. Since he'd made a sizable donation, really without him, the wing wouldn't have been possible, he and a guest were invited to the Fancy Pants dinner next weekend.
Something else to look forward to.
As soon as he thought it, he tossed the pages to the kitchen counter. He'd be expected to take someone. The last ritzy dinner party he'd attended alone, he'd gotten quite the tongue-lashing from the media. Problem was, he didn't have a significant other. He hadn't done it to hurt anyone, show anyone up, or boast about his wealth, as the article had claimed. Lazybones whined, and Tyler went to work filling the dog's water bowl and dishing up more dog food. With the retriever lapping at the water, Tyler snatched his foam from the counter. Within seconds, he had Marshall Robison on the line.
"Dude, I need a date to a charity event," he said.
"I'm not really your type," Marshall said.
Tyler could practically see him bent over a stack of paperwork at his desk. Marshall owned the largest pineapple plantation on the island, and they were both members of the Hawaii 9-0 Club, an informal organization for the men and women who had 9 zeros in their bank accounts.
"Very funny," Tyler said. "I'm just wondering, you used to have a lot of different women go to events with you, where did you find them?"
"Oh, that's easy," Marshall said. "You just ask someone you already know. Tell them explicitly that you're not looking for a relationship. It's not a date.
You'll buy them a fancy dress, and they'll hang on your arm and get a free meal and pose for the pictures. Most women like that.
Tyler couldn't think of a single person he knew who even wanted a fancy dress, or knew how to pose.
Want me to set you up with someone? Marshall asked.
That idea was even more horrifying than going alone. He'd be spending hours with this woman, and he'd like to be able to enjoy the money he spent, maybe have a decent conversation. Okay, so maybe he should just be looking for someone to ask. If they wanted to think it was a date, well, would that be so bad? Only one person came to mind, and he wasn't sure if she'd even remember him. He hadn't spoken to her in months, and he was surprised the beach yoga instructor hadn't called the police on him for stalking with a dog. Could he help it if Lazy Bones liked her stretch of the beach the best? Could he help it if he liked watching her hold difficult yoga poses with ease? No, he couldn't help either of those things.
Ty? Marshall asked.
No matter how many times Tyler had told Marshall not to call him that, he still did. The man had a fixation on nicknames.
I'm good, Tyler said. Thanks, Marsh.
He hung up, a low chuckle in the back of his throat. When he came out of the bedroom after getting dressed, Lazy Bones stood by the back door, a frisbee hanging loosely in his mouth.
You want to go throw?
Tyler took the toy from his dog and headed back out to the beach. If there was one thing he loved doing to occupy all his free time, it was working with, training, and playing with Lazy Bones. His feet drank up the warmth in the sand, though it wasn't as hot in October as it was over the summer. As he completed the easy motions of throwing the frisbee and treating Bones, his mind ran through possible ways to approach the beautiful yoga instructor and not make a fool of himself. An hour later, he still didn't have any good ideas, but it was close enough to dinner time to wander down the beach and find something to eat. He rounded the curve in the bay and drank in the sight of Getaway Bay before him. At the pinnacle of the bay sat Sweet Breeze, the new luxury hotel that had just celebrated its one-year anniversary. Fisher DuPont owned and operated the hotel, and he was also a member of the Hawaii 9-0 Club. Several stands and huts dotted the bay, and he could get tacos, fruity drinks or sodas, fish sandwiches, anything with Spam on it, popcorn, and the best grilled pineapple on the island right here. Tyler loved eating on the beach, and while he sometimes wondered what he was doing with his life, he loved living the way he did. After so many years in the spotlight, with the designer suits and the fancy haircuts, and never being able to leave the house without a security detail, he'd come to Hawaii, to Getaway Bay, to, well, get away. He didn't own more than one suit now, and most days he didn't even put on a shirt. His eyes wandered down the beach to the dozens of vacationers in Sweet Breeze's private beach, and his gaze stalled. The cute yoga instructor with brown hair streaked with blonde. He'd met her over the summer, and yeah, he'd thought her fit and fun and probably fabulous. He wasn't really sure, as he'd never worked up the courage to talk to her past saying,
"Sorry about that,"
when Bones had knocked his frisbee into the woman's beach yoga class. He'd never even gotten her name. Perhaps it was time to do exactly that. With new purpose in his stride, he stopped at the seafood stand first, and two coconuts, the drink hut, second. Properly fed and hydrated, he approached the yoga class, which was just getting out. He'd seen the woman plenty of times, and he'd seen the cup from Two Coconuts by her mat as well. He carried a second one with him, having done a bit of espionage at the drink stand. He stopped several feet away and watched as she toweled herself off. She had well-defined muscles in her arms and legs, a trim waist, and all the right curves in all the right places. She caught his eye and froze. Tyler lifted the cup in what he hoped was a universal gesture of, "I got this for you so you'll go to a fancy event with me next weekend, and hey, I'll buy you a dress if you don't have one." She actually glanced over her shoulder as if she expected someone else to be standing there, someone else he wanted to talk to. A pin of guilt pricked his heart. His many hours at the poker table had taught him to read people really well. Sometimes it was actually a curse, because he instinctively knew he'd hurt this woman by not talking to her when he should have. She took a tentative step toward him, and he moved too.
"Hey," he said. "So, I'm Tyler."
He extended the drink toward her. She lifted the one she already had
and a wall of foolishness hit him.
I know who you are, she said, a note of disdain in her voice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He lifted the drink to his own lips and sucked. Pure sugar coated his mouth, and he spat the offending liquid out. It stained the sand blue, and he stared at it in horror.
What is this stuff?
Blue raspberry, she said, cocking one hip in a way that made his heart pound a little faster,
and not because he was striking out and wouldn't have a date to the gala, but because, as he had for months, he found her so, so attractive. That smattering of freckles on her face, the streaks of blonde in her light brown hair, those blue-green eyes, the same color as the bay.
Lazy Bones trotted right up to her and began to sniff in all the wrong places.
Tyler tried to get between the two of them.
Bones, he chastised. Stop it.
Oh, he's fine.
She bent and patted Lazy Bones, the smile on her face the first genuine gesture he'd seen since approaching. Bones soaked up the attention as if Tyler never gave the dog a good scrub. He grinned at the woman as if telling Tyler he'd been knocking his frisbee into this woman's yoga class for a reason.
What's your name? He asked.
She straightened, and Lazy Bones went back to the sniffing. Her eyes blazed, and for one, two, three terrible moments, he thought she'd stalk off. Instead, she asked,
Did you ask Mo at the drink stand what I like?
She'd find out anyway, so Tyler said,
No, her name was Leilani.
Why?
I need a date.
He was so rusty when it came to women, he might as well leave now. Send in his own scathing article to the paper and take a selfie of him shirtless and unshowered for the photo. He tried to get Bones away from her, though he thought she smelled pretty amazing, too. Like suntan lotion and sand and sun and sweat.
Is that an invitation to go out with you?
She plucked the drink cup from his hand and removed the straw. She handed it back to him and put her straw in before taking a great big drink. She finished with a long, Ah, that's good, and a cocked eyebrow. He stared at her and then started laughing.
Okay, I deserve that.
You really do.
She made no move to give him the drink back. No problem, he'd bought it for her.
So I donated a bunch of money to the children's wing at the hospital, and they're having their celebratory gala.
Tyler watched her for any tells, anything that would indicate how she felt about what he was saying. She remained wooden, her emotions carefully hidden behind a mask. She'd be very good at poker.
It'll be boring, and it's a black tie event, he continued. Very stuffy, very non-yoga, but I'm wondering if maybe you'd like to come with me.
He put on his poker face, too, and though it was out of practice, it allowed him to make it through several seconds of silence. Was she ever going to answer? He cocked his hip, too. Two could play this game, and he was pretty sure his time at a poker table meant he could outwait her.
Chapter 2
Every cell in Tawny Lovelace's body tingled. The beachy billionaire was standing in front of her, asking her out. Asking her out. He gazed back evenly at her, and Stacy's label for him, the bashful billionaire, seemed a perfect fit. She claimed that was why he hadn't made a move with Tawny yet. Apparently Tyler was friends with Fisher, and Fisher had said he didn't get out much. Except to hospital galas, obviously. Tawny desperately wanted to say yes, but she wanted this guy to work for it. To know that she'd been right there all these months while he tossed the perfect frisbee to his adorable dog. The dog who wouldn't stop sniffing her. She pushed against Bones' big head, and the dog backed up a little. Maybe he didn't get out much either, and all these new smells were driving him wild. Still, Mr. Sniffington needed to chill.
I never got your name, Tyler said, nudging the dog back with his leg again.
Of course he hadn't. She knew all about him, and he didn't even know her name. Classic. Tawny tried not to let it bother her. She wasn't the international poker celebrity who'd sold his company to his brother for over $6 billion. Tawny, she said, deciding not to keep him waiting any longer. Tawny Lovelace, I work for your friend, Fisher. She indicated the hotel.
Oh, you know Fisher?
He's dating my best friend, so. Tawny shrugged like she was hanging out with billionaires every day of the week. As if. Maybe in her dreams if she actually dreamt. No, she hadn't been blessed with nighttime dreams that left her warm and woozy when she woke. She had to do all of her dreaming during the day, which made her imaginations more like fantasies. And maybe a few of them had featured the long-haired beach bum with billions concealed in his bank accounts. And his big dog, too. She lifted her cup and drank. Sure, just because he had a lot of money didn't mean he could read her thoughts. He appraised her, and his bright blue eyes sharp and intelligent now. Okay, so maybe he could read more than the average person.
What do you think about the gala? He asked. No strings attached.
Oh, but Tawny wanted strings. Strings that turned into rings, and rings that held diamonds. Slow down, sister, she told herself. First, she'd go out with him. I'll have to check my yoga schedule. She lifted her chin, determined not to squeal and jump into his arms. She couldn't come across too eager. That tactic had never served her well, and she'd been making some new rules for herself when it came to men. Rule number one, make them work for it. Rule two, don't act desperate. Tyler lifted his phone to his ear, his eyes never leaving hers.
Yeah, hi. Can you transfer me to Owen? It's Tyler Rigby.
What are you doing? Tawny asked. He tilted the phone down from his mouth.
Calling to check on your yoga schedule.
She lunged for his phone, but he stepped back and held it out of her reach. A chuckle vibrated from his mouth, and it was as deep and wonderful as Tawny had imagined.
Yes, Owen. I need to know when Tawny Lovelace is working next weekend.
I have it on my calendar, she growled. Her blood streamed through her veins, too hot and too fast.
Just in the morning on Saturday? Great, thanks so much, Owen.
He lowered his phone, a drop-dead, gorgeous smile on his face.
You're free that night.
She slicked her loose strands off her forehead and faced him again. Maybe I already have a date.
Do you?
No, she didn't, unless she counted her fluffy white dog.
Fine, I don't have a date.
You could.
He shifted his feet in the sand, almost like it was too hot for him to keep standing there. She sipped her drink, glad he'd brought her a cold one.
All right.
She held out her hand and flapped her fingers.
What?
Give me your phone. He handed it over without question, and she added her number to it. Text me the details.
Do you have a dress? It's black tie, remember?
She stepped into him and placed a palm flat against his chest. Yeah. Okay, so he spent some time working out, too. Oh, honey, when I said text me the details, I meant the details of when we'll meet so you can help me get ready for this black tie event. She patted his chest, maybe once more than she should have. I wouldn't wait long, she said as she walked away. I might need to order something from the mainland. Tawny felt his eyes on her, but she refused to look back.
How about tonight? He called after her.
Tawny spun and walked backward, hoping with everything in her that she wouldn't trip in the loose sand.
I'll check my schedule.
Then she turned and left him standing there chuckling on the beach.
Have you had time to check your schedule yet?
Tawny smiled at the text on her phone from an unknown number. She saved Tyler in her contacts and reread the words, hearing them said in a playful tone. She'd barely left the beach when the message came in, so she ducked behind a tree and looked back toward where they'd been talking. Tyler still stood there, his dog now lying at his feet, his sniffing needs apparently satisfied. When she didn't respond, he cast a long look in her direction, but Tawny felt certain he couldn't see her. Sure enough, he bent and picked up a blue frisbee and threw it, the dog taking off after it and then trotting back to his master.
What time were you thinking? She typed out. I need to shower and I have a few things to take care of.
Not entirely true, but she didn't want him to think her only options on a Friday night after work was a shower and her TV while she painted and cut fabric.
My schedule is completely open.
Have you eaten?
Tell me what you want, and I'll meet you there.
Tani smiled at her phone, her stomach warring with itself. She definitely needed to eat, but doing so in front of him didn't sound like a good idea. You can eat in front of a man, she told herself. She continued along the trees down the beach to her house. It was a long walk, but she was tired of riding her bicycle to the hotel. Sterling had bought a rack just for her, but she just needed a break from that scene. She'd tried a few dates with the valet, because he was cute, polite, and employed. Her requirements for a date were getting shorter and shorter, and Sterling had been kind and charming. He was good-looking, but there had simply been zero spark between them, at least for her. And seeing Sterling day after day, and that bike rack he'd bought just for her, well, it felt like she was rubbing something into his wounds she didn't need to rub. By the time she got home, she decided where she wanted to eat. The Noodle House, 7:30, she texted him. And can you pick me up? I don't exactly have a car.
Sure, see you soon.
Giddiness accompanied Tawny as she burst into her beach house and exclaimed to her pup, I have a date with the bashful billionaire. She laughed and dropped her duffel bag by the front door. She bypassed the purple t-shirt she'd been planning to decorate and then cut into strips that night. She made all her own workout shirts, and she'd learned numerous ways to tie them into different patterns so she didn't get ridiculous tan lines. Getting paid to work out on the beach had its benefits, but that wasn't one of them. She showered, dressed, and dried her hair before checking her phone again. Tyler had texted again, asking for her address. She sent it to him, and then decided her outfit was all wrong. She dialed Esther and blurted, The handsome beach guy finally asked me out. Tyler? Yes, Tyler, she giggled as she pulled her sundress over her head. We're going out tonight, and I have no idea what to wear. What would you normally wear?
Tawny paused. The dress.
So, the opposite of a flirty dress. She pulled a pair of white shorts out of her dresser and paired them with a blue and white striped top. Made more of t-shirt fabric than anything else, it was casual attire. Nothing like what she'd wear on a first date with a man she'd kept one eye on for the past 4 months. Listen, Esther said, just be you, okay? I know you're doing things different and have new rules or whatever, but you are you. That doesn't change just because he's handsome and rich. Says the woman who already has the handsome, rich boyfriend. Tawny managed to keep the bite out of her tone. Mostly. She jumped when a knock sounded on her door. He's here. She wasn't sure why she was whispering. Beach tomorrow, all the details, Esther said. I'll text everyone. Gotta go. Good luck! Esther's parting words spurred Tawny to find a pair of sandals while she called, Coming! She arrived at the door, a bit out of breath, to find him wearing a pair of blue shorts that could have been a swimming suit. He wore a gray t-shirt that looked brand new, and wow, he made casual wear look like a tuxedo. His long hair had been pulled back, and it looked wet along the top where he'd combed it. He hadn't shaved, and his 7:30 shadow made her throat dry. Sorry, I'm a bit behind, she said, but she did not want to invite him in. She kept her house in a state of messy chic, with piles stacked in specific places. She knew what was in every stack, and she had a method to her madness she didn't particularly feel like explaining to him on the first date.
Did I rush you? He asked.
No, she assured him. Just stood in the shower a little longer than normal. She rotated her shoulders. I've been working this one shoulder a little too hard lately.
Yeah?
He looked at it and his hand twitched like he might give her a massage right there in her doorway.
You should have Fisher's spa people fix you up.
Yeah, she said evasively. I should.
I've heard they're good.
Oh? You get tight from all the surfing? She plucked her purse from the hook by the door and pushed closer into his personal space until he backed out onto the porch.
Surfing is actually very athletic, he said. So yeah, I might indulge in a little heat therapy from time to time.
Tawny smiled at him, thinking, it must be nice to have time and money to do that. A hint of sourness filled her mouth, but she swallowed it away. Fisher would probably let her have spa appointments for free.
He was generous with his staff, and his low turnover rate proved they liked him.
So, what brought you to Hawaii? She asked.
He cut her a look out of the side of his eye.
You read the internet?
Surface stuff, she said, which may have been giving away too much. She wanted more than surface stuff, and that didn't sound like no strings attached.
You don't have to tell me.
She moved toward his car, a sporty little number that came in the brightest red possible.
I came because my mother died, and I wanted somewhere beautiful and happy to wake up to each morning.
She spoke the words without a single hiccup, but the weight of living in a world without her mom hit her right beneath the ribs. She kept the smile on her face and added, Isn't Getaway Bay the most beautiful and happiest place on earth?
It sure is.
He stepped around the car and opened the passenger door for her. He blocked her way, though, and said,
I'm sorry about your mom.
She looked right into his eyes, finding genuine warmth there.
Thank you. Me too.
He moved, and she slid into the car. When he joined her, he said,
Both of my parents still live in New York City. Well, Queens.
Do you see them often?
No, but I talk to them a lot. My brother, too. He's older.
His jaw twitched, and Tani felt like he had more to say, but he didn't. And while Tani had a million more questions for him, she let the ride go by in silence, because it felt nice, comfortable, new and casual. And she really needed something new and casual right now, even if it was only for a week, even if he only needed her to hang on his arm for an event, even if it had taken that to get him to come over and talk to her when she'd been ogling him for months. She swallowed back the doubt and reminded herself that at least she'd get the best noodles on the island and a new dress out of this. Even if he really did mean no strings attached.
Chapter 3
Tyler liked noodles as much as the next guy, but to listen to Tawny talk about them, they were the nectar of the gods. He liked her exuberance, the good vibes she put off, and the way her white shorts ended high on her long tan legs.
So, you're kind of a celebrity, she said once they'd gotten their food and found a table on the patio.
An awning covered the whole thing in shade, and Tyler reached for his fork to eat the Japanese snow pea noodle bowl he'd ordered on her recommendation. He took a bite, the saltiness of the sauce a nice complement to the sweet snow peas.
I'm not a celebrity, he finally said.
Tawny didn't miss much, though she kept her eyes on her own bowl of noodles.
But you do need someone to go with you to the gala.
She looked up.
Why?
So maybe she didn't read the papers or the web as often as he'd assumed. He couldn't see a reason not to tell her, so he said,
Last time I went alone, I got blasted in the media.
Her eyebrows went up and she stirred her noodles around.
Only celebrities get blasted for what they do or don't do.
Tyler couldn't argue with that, so he didn't.
So the event will be mingling at first. Drinks and some of those little appetizers.
He hated mingling. And he'd been to way too many parties to enjoy hors d'oeuvres anymore. If he'd eaten one salmon canapé, he'd eaten them all.
Then there will be a fancy dinner. Sometimes there's dancing.
He lifted his water glass to his lips and drank.
And a speech. There's always a speech.
He hoped they wouldn't call him up on stage. In fact, he made a mental note to call the event organizer and ask them not to. He didn't need that scene, even if he had a date this time.
How long is the whole thing from beginning to end? She asked.
Oh, hours.
He exhaled like he'd already been, already suffered through the night.
Probably about 4. We can make a graceful exit by 11.
And I need a fancy dress.
Something suitable for a cruise ship or, say, a wedding banquet. I can pay for it.
Tawny lifted those intoxicating eyes to his. That would be great. My yoga salary doesn't really pay well enough for sequins. She smiled at him and indicated his noodles.
You don't like them?
He picked up his fork, not having the heart to tell her he'd eaten fish tacos on the beach before approaching her.
They're great.
A sense of pride filled him that he was out with a woman, talking to her, and that he was actually enjoying himself. He wondered what had taken him so long to talk to this woman who'd caught his eye months ago. Ducking his head, he knew why. If he started a relationship with a woman, especially one like Tawny Loveless, there would be questions to answer, secrets to reveal, and his very private life to expose.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?